Welcome to the Tim Black's Black Table Podcast. This is episode number 28. I'm your host for the show. We got a show lined up for you tonight. We're going to talk about Israel-Hamas war, a little bit about Kamala Harris, Elijah McClain, Carly Russell, and the Tucker versus Shapiro argument. So we got a lot crammed into tonight's show. We hope to get to it real soon. Thank you for tuning in. Remember to go to Join Tim Black to become a VIP member of the Tim Black Show, and also go to WatchTimBlack.com to see the live show. We do this on Sundays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we do this Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Let's get into it. I'm going to be honest with you. It's not that much, like, considering what's going on in Gaza, what's going on in Israel, Palestine, the Palestinians, sort of took all the air out of the room. You know, Suzanne Somers died, and Deion Sanders, the Bulldogs, lost a game. They were up 20-something, I think. And everything else is a blur. But I did manage to find a couple of other stories I thought were interesting enough to share with you. But I'll be honest with you. With what's going on now currently with Israel, that's kind of, it's hard. Like, I'm seeping through, like, okay, what else we got? What else we got? And I'm trying to tell you, folks, this is dominating the news cycle. It's a war. So it's kind of crazy. Like, earlier today, I was asked, and I want to get into it, like, I'm guessing a debate, so about why it's important for Black people, why Black people should care about it, war in Gaza. And I accepted the offer. I'm hoping we can do it live on the show, because I got some interesting takes on it. And yes, I hope that happens, because that would be dope. That would be dope. I don't want to give too much of the lead away on this, right? You know, Black folks, Black Americans, my people, ADOS, Freedmen, you don't have to care about anything. You only got one rule, that's stay Black and die. Oh, pay taxes. Pay taxes, stay Black and die. That's it. Those three things, if you live in America, you're going to do those. You don't have to stay Black. You can always get bleached. But, you know, you're still Black, you know. So it's a fallacy to say you have to do anything. Hell, man, there are Black people that don't give a shit about Biden. You know what I'm saying? So it's not just, okay, you got to care about war. There are Black people that don't care about Ukraine. And I don't know if you noticed in that, guys, there are actually white people that don't care about Gaza or Ukraine. Yeah, I don't know what it is, man. It's like Americans, we are so, and I say Americans because I haven't been to another country, but my experience is we are so focused on putting each other in a monolithic group and say, this is how it's got to be. This is how it is, and that's the only way it'll be. You know, it's this or that, that's it. And that's not true, man. And I get so tired of Black people saying, you know, why do we do this? Or why do we, motherfucker, dude, how many Black people do you know? Seriously, how many Black people do you know? Because you always come, people come with Black people because you need to stop doing it. Stop doing what? Who are your friends? You know, it's all kinds, I said this last show, guys. There's all kinds of Black people, and there's all kinds of white people, there's all kinds of Asians, there's all kinds of Native Americans, indigenous people. Like, there is no one set. You know, so it's crazy to get into this thing where you think everybody's the same. My thing is, my thing is my job is to do news. That's my career. I do news. You wouldn't go to, look, if I fix toilets, if I was a plumber, you know, and my job is to fix pipes, I wouldn't be like, well, I only do the, you know, I don't do these types of pipes with the brass pipes. You do pipes. You fix pipes. There's no picking. It's my job. You might say, look, man, my house has these kind of pipes. And I say, okay. So I'm not interested in the other type of pipe fixtures. Cool. Hey, why would you be? I get it. But it's my job as a plumber to know about all the pipes. It's my job to talk about all the pipes and offer you a wide array of pipes. Fixing or whatever. But for some reason, man, it's like we got this thing going on. It's like, so anyway, it's going to be fun. I hope we have this debate because I'm not an easy one, and this will be great. This will be fantastic. So I got a couple stories I want to get to tonight. Elijah McClain. We got the Elijah McClain update on that story. We got the story of Carly Russell, an update on that story. Two black folks. Very different stories. Of course, we're going to talk a little bit more about Gaza. We're also going to talk about Tucker Carlson versus Ben Shapiro in a very interesting way. See, here's the thing. I always try to tell black people, look, when I talk about these issues, you say, oh, man, I don't want to hear about this. You got to give me a chance to tell you why. Because every time I report on the story, it's from a black perspective. It's a knack I have. I zero into the parallels. I zero into what makes it relevant. And if you're a working class person of any color, you're going to relate to the way I put it. You're going to relate to the way I put it because that's my vantage point. I don't come in here and pretend I'm from Harvard. I don't come in here and pretend that I'm on MSNBC or CNN or Fox. I just do working class people stuff. And I'm proud of that. So that's what we're going to get into tonight. Share this. Please share the show. Put it out on your whatever. I didn't even tweet it out. I notice my tweets don't go far when it comes to show stuff. Now, Facebook will do a pretty good job. Facebook does very well. So, but real quick, just in case I got 5 or 10 people on Twitter. Facebook will do a pretty good job. Stop. You know, a couple people on Twitter might be hanging out. I want to take the time while I'm doing this to say what's up to my people on Patreon and my people on YouTube who support the show. Thank you guys for being there to keep the show active. It ain't easy doing independent media, and I appreciate your support in that effort. Thank you for seeing the value in this show, taking the time to see the value in it. We are not everything to everyone, but we're something to some people. So that's what matters, man. And bam, there we go. Facebook as well. We did Facebook, we did YouTube, we did Twitter, we did our thing. We did our job. That's called doing your due diligence. So where are we going to go first? Let's go with the update with Gaza. Let's go with the update on that. Folks, some things I don't want to repeat because I don't know what's valid. And this is always the problem when you do international news. I'm not there, so I can't really tell you. As if I'm in Colorado or Portland or Detroit or Philly or anywhere else, place else other than D.C. So I really can't. But the thing is, I always feel like I'm so removed that I got to rely on, like, I don't know. I got to rely on other people and I don't always have the sources for it. So everything that I report to you on is following this. Everything that's reported has to be taken from the consideration of this is the best of the information that we've received, and this is where we are. So what I do know, what I can report soundly, is that a lot of people are being killed. That is definitely what's happening. A lot of people are being killed. And Israel's doing most of the killing. Israeli forces. When I say Israel, these are IDF, the defense, the Israeli defense. Those are the guys, okay? So that's what's happening there, and it's a horrific thing. And we had a lot of debates going on about, you know, if some children had been massacred by Hamas. And Joe Biden made statements about seeing pictures of 40 children who were massacred. And this is just horrible stuff, folks. It's war. It's war. That's a war crime. If that's true, it's a war crime. Last time I heard, they said they couldn't find information to validate it. Then I heard there was some validation of this story. Then I heard there wasn't. Folks, anytime you kill civilians, that's a war crime. There are rules to engagement. And when you hear people talk about this term, you may have heard this term, a right to defend oneself. That leads us to believe they're trying to take off the table the war crimes say. Okay? So this is a problem. Okay, this is a problem what we're doing. So add on top of, you know, they say there was 40 children that were massacred and there's some other heinous, very heinous, barbaric activities going on. 700 children reportedly were killed in Gaza. Now, Gaza is occupied by Palestinians. I'm not hearing much outrage about that. I haven't seen a Biden press conference about 700 Gaza children being killed. We know that there is a population of about 2 million, 1 million of those children, 1 million of those are children in Gaza. So once again, this is war and it's a horrible thing. And what's happening can't be underestimated as far as the human toil, the human toll. And so it's with a heavy heart that you have to report on any of this stuff. It really is. But I got to say this, and this is regardless to where I get the news sources from, this is something I think that needs to be said. Gaza is a place. Hamas are rebel-type fighters. They're a group of fighters, right? Palestinians are not necessarily Hamas. So this is why I got so pissed off when I did the Cornel West analyze the Cornel West video. Dr. Cornel West, he went on Fox News with Sean Hannity and Alan Dershowitz, and Dershowitz was equating Palestinians to Hamas, and he was asserting that since Dr. West supports Palestinians, that he was supporting Hamas. And those aren't the same things. And it's okay not to like Dr. West. You don't have to like Dr. West. I find it weird for certain people to say they want, you know, certain types of politics when he's the only one kind of running that type of race. Though I've heard about this a new lady I was just informed about named Miss La Cruz, who's also pretty strong in a lot of areas. But I just heard about her because somebody in my comments was like, you've left her out. I'm like, I didn't even know who she was. There are people, believe it or not, there are people who don't know people that you know. Got to give them the benefit of the doubt. So anyway, be that as it may. The point is this, guys. You don't have to like Dr. Cornel West, but what you cannot do is conflate Hamas to Palestinians. And the IDF does not reflect on all Jewish folks. Here's one that's going to trip you out. The American military, like the ones who tortured people in Guantanamo, that wasn't me, just because they were American soldiers. I know it's crazy, right? That's what I'm getting at. It's like the hypocrisy. So these people that will never want you to group them with the worst atrocities that their people ever committed are fine with grouping other groups of people with the worst atrocities that people from their nation committed, as, you know, like it's no big deal. So I find this kind of, it's phony. It's not kind of anything. It is what it is. It's phony. So it's phony. It's a lie. It's a smear. And we despise smears around here. We despise them. So, I would like for things to end. I want people to know that, I don't know if you've been covering news that long, there are people that don't have, who really don't cover the news per se, or haven't been covering it for a long time. So they may not know this, but dog, this is not the first time this has happened. This is not the first time we've had these conversations. These conversations have been happening as long, for the 13 years I've been on the internet, these conversations have gone on. You're not the first one to ask the question, why should we care? People ask that question all the time. Everything that happens, I want people to realize, everything that happens on the internet, everything that happens in the news, there's a group of people, Black people in particular, who focus on things like reparations. They focus on things like racial wealth gaps. This is not a new concept. I know there are people that have laid claim to the ground and said, this is ours. Dog, people have been talking about this as long as I've been on the internet. And I'm not saying I'm the first on the internet, but for the last 13 years, there have been lots of people who have talked about these same issues. All you got to do is Google it or YouTube it. YouTube is the second most powerful search engine. Just type it in and you'll see 8 years ago, 9 years ago, 6 years ago, same questions, same arguments, same violence in Gaza, same killings, same conflict. Not a new thing, Johnson. And that's what's so frustrating about it. You come and you say, okay, we're going to get these people this land, and they need a place to be because they got to be, they got to be somewhere, and they're under attack constantly. So it's not as cut and dry as people make it seem, but Lord knows, guys, Lord knows, you can never support one group to the total detriment in dehumanization of another group. And I feel that's what's happened with what's going on in Palestine, what's happening with Israel, what's happening with... So that's my beef with it. And someone educated me. Someone came on my show. They had been to Gaza. They had done reporting, extensive reporting on the region. And that's how I became educated about it. I shut up and I listened. And it's not saying that you have to become educated on it, but there's so many other things that we talk about that are unnecessary. Hell, man, when I'm looking up stories, I see all types of news that I don't bring you. I feel like I would be in dereliction of duty not to bring this up because it's impacting lives and it's everywhere. So there it is. There's a lot of things going on in Africa. There's a lot of things going on across the globe, frankly. And once we started getting into international issues, you realize there's so many other issues that can be discussed that are not discussed. And for a person who's basically a one-person team, it's impossible for me to do it all. So I encourage you to seek out other sources for all types of information about other places. But I think that this is all freedom struggles are connected. All freedom struggles are connected. I feel like it's all tied together and linked in some way. And you'll see the similar narratives played out. Okay, so you demonize people to the point where people no longer consider them basically human, and then whatever happens to them, no one cares. That sound familiar? If you demonize the people long enough to the point where people no longer see them as human, no longer relate to them as human beings, they don't see them as themselves, then whatever happens to them seems like, they had it coming. And that's sort of what you'll see the running theme when it comes to atrocities, when it comes to genocides, when it comes to just a steady attrition of human value, a steady attrition of humanity as it pertains, for instance, to Black folks in America. Which is going to kind of lead me into my first story. Well, second story. We'll count that. So let's go this. So Tucker Carlson, he's on X now. which is Twitter. Tucker Carlson is out on Fox, but he's on X. He puts out content. He has interviews. According to Twitter X, he gets like 100 million views on his new show, Tucker Carlson on X. And it's free. Anybody who has Twitter can watch it. And you'll see him do a long-form type interview. So recently, he had an interview with Vivek Ramaswamy. And they talked about some things. And Ben Shapiro got pissed off because they were talking about Israel and Gaza and Palestinians, of course, because, like I was saying, it's conversation going on about this everywhere. So Tucker, they brought it up, and Ben got pissed, and he did a video about it. So what I want to do is I want us to take a look at this, and believe me, I got a reason for you to take a look at it. It's not because I'm a Ben Shapiro fan or a Tucker fan, but I think my take on this is worth you seeing the context of why I'm showing you the video. Let's go.
I got to say, you mentioned moral outrage, and I thought the videos from southern Israel were morally outrageous, and I was offended
Me
by
too.
Them and saddened by them. Anyone who saw them, I think, was. But you don't have to look far in the United States for moral outrages also on video. And there's not a city in this country, not just the big cities, but cities of 10,000 people. I was in one yesterday that doesn't have some constellation of drug-addicted young people living outside. We call them the homeless. They're drug addicts. And they're addicted to drugs that were imported across an open border allowed by the Biden administration. And they're dying, more than 100,000 a year. Now, you could call it genocide. You can call it whatever you want. But it's the death of over 100,000 Americans a year and the living death of millions more who are living outside. So
sure.
I don't understand. People are outraged by what happened in Israel. And again, I want to add my voice to that because I'm a human being. But the scale of the outrage among Republican presidential candidates was so much more intense. One of them took to a bullhorn and started yelling about it. I get it. But no one would think to do that about the 100,000 American young people murdered every year. And they are murdered, honestly, by
give me a synthetic
opioids.
For that one,
like,
Chuck.
What?
I'll take my bullhorn for that one. And let's just go a little bit deeper on that one. This is the product of some intentional design. I mean, there are literally synthetic precursors to make synthetic fentanyl coming from Wuhan, of all places, to Mexican drug cartels south of our own border, pumping that up. And you want to just numbers to get the scale intact.
Okay. All right, here we go. Let me get back here. So, yeah, that's Tucker Carlson, Vivek Ramaswamy, who go from talking about what's going on in Gaza, what's going on in Israel with the Palestinians, the conflict there, the war, to talking about fentanyl crisis. Yeah, they did that. That's what they did. It's like, why are these people upset about this? They're upset about fentanyl. They're upset about the border. They're upset about these things, but they're upset about this. See what I'm trying to tell you guys is this happens all the time. Every time there's a group that's not your group, every time, unless it's happening to you, it doesn't matter. Dave Chappelle had a funny thing. He had a funny joke. He said, everything's funny when it's not happening to you. That's the joke. That's how people work. Now, there are some people who are more empathetic than other people. When they see suffering, their hearts open. They're empathetic. They know what they relate to it. They recognize it, and they feel something about it. That's not everybody. There's this fallacy that it's all black people are just open. No, there are people from all walks of every color, every denomination who, there are some people in all groups who feel that way. And there's some people in all groups who go, what else is on TV? What else you got? How does this affect the price of tea in China? And I'm not even in China. So that always exists. So Ben Shapiro was sitting back. He was watching this, you know, because Ben Shapiro is really pissed off these days because of what's going on in Israel. And I'm not saying he doesn't have a right to be pissed off about it. I'm not saying that at all. But he took exception to Tucker and Vivek switching the subject from Israel, Gaza, and how all Hamas needs to be eliminated to something else having to do with America. And here goes Ben Shapiro's response.
I got to say, you mentioned moral outrage, and I thought... in another country, but not in your own country. It's the death of over 100,000 Americans a year and the living death of millions more.
Well, you can't
more,
call it genocide. It's not genocide.
So sure. I don't understand.
I'm sorry, people who are addicted to drugs and living outside.
Israel, and again, I want to add my voice to that because I'm a human being.
But oh, sure you do. You sound very outraged.
The outrage among Republican presidential candidates was so much more intent. One of them took to a bullhorn and started yelling about it. I get it. But no one would think to do that about the 100,000 American young people murdered every year. And they
because who are you yelling at? Who are you yelling at? First of all, people are on bullhorns yelling about drug overdoses and the open border all the time. All the time. What is he even talking about? What he's attempting to do is minimize what happened in Israel. He's not attempting to maximize what happened in the United States. He's attempting to minimize as though America can't walk and chew gum, morally speaking, at the same time, which is absurd. And those two things are nothing alike. I'm sorry, that is not alike. It is not alike for drug smugglers to smuggle drugs over the border, which someone then takes and shoves into their arm and then they die of an overdose. That is not the same thing. I promise you, it is not the same thing as a terrorist breaking into your home and murdering your children in their beds in front of you and dragging your wife off to be raped in Gaza. That is not the same thing. Pretending that it is immoral. It's a moral blight. It's idiocy. It's just moral stupidity at the highest level. Of course we should care about what happens with fentanyl. Of course we should care about, we should close our border. Have I been unclear about this? Of course America should have closed borders when it comes to this sort of stuff. I'm on the same side as Tucker on that. I just don't understand why he's not on my side when it comes to Hamas has to be wiped off the face of the earth.
Wow. Wow. Wow, a little testy there. Getting a little emotional, aren't we there, Ben? So here goes the point why I wanted to bring this story to you. I wanted to show you the hypocrisy of these white guys. All three of them. Yeah, I want to show you the hypocrisy. You know, I've never seen Tucker really be that really concerned about fentanyl. Now that he can undermine what's going on in Israel, yeah, well, now's a good time to pull this out of his ass and pretend he really cares. But I could, so I'm not totally sure because I don't watch enough for Tucker to figure that out. But I just got a feeling he didn't even see that upset now. It seemed more like, hey, well, what about this? But Ben Shapiro, dude, you're spitting mad because this affects not you, but people that look like you, people that worship like you. And let me tell you this, Ben, when we talk about black issues, what's going on with black Americans? You never seem to be so concerned. In fact, you minimize anything that's going on with black people and you basically flip it around and turn it and say, it's your own fault. Yeah, it's your own fault, black people. You put yourself in this position if you would just fix the culture. If you would just be more present with your children. And totally leave out the massive wealth gap between blacks and white folks. Totally obliterating the real cause behind crime, behind the situations that black people find themselves in a country where they have been dogged, degraded, and stuck to the bottom by a system that's racially, systemically racist, and geared for failure for black folks. You can't deny a group of people for several generations the ability to build wealth. And then when they don't have wealth and they go, how are we going to make it? How are we going to survive? Do you say, well, whatever you do, it's your fault. Whatever you're going through, that's your fault. And we just wake up in the year 2023 and we act as if black people didn't exist before that. And that the policies that America has implemented over the last 300 years have no actual impact to what's going on now. So, Ben Shapiro, I really want to feel sorry for you, but I can't. No, actually, that's not true. I don't want to feel sorry for you at all. And I don't feel sorry for you at all. What I do want to say is that the killing of any innocent people, any civilians, is wrong. But see, I'm a better person than you. I'm not going to look and try to find a way to say, hey, it's, you brought it on yourself. Because that's what you do to us. When I say, hey, do you realize that black homeless rates are 3 and 7, 10 times higher than the national average in some states? I never see you wep a tear, wet a tear. No, nothing leaks from your face when I tell you that. When I tell you the death rate of black women giving childbirth is 3 to 4 times higher than white women, I never seen you ever be the least bit concerned. In fact, what I get is I'm being divisive, I'm playing victim, or some other shit. And it's not just from you, Ben, but from people that worship like you do, and people like Tucker and Vivek. So this is why I say I wanted to point this out, because I want us to take a look and to see exactly how hypocritical they are and exactly how they act when they give a damn about something. See, when they care about, when Ben Shapiro feels like it's his people, he's livid. He's upset. He's pissed off. He's never that way about anything else. He wasn't upset when Tamir Rice got his head blown off, 12 years old, in daytime at a park with a toy gun that never shot anything because it was incapable of shooting anything. It was an actual toy. I don't remember Tucker or Ben or Vivek or any of these assholes ever getting upset at all about that. 23-year-old Elijah McClain, whose story we're going to get to later, killed by cops, given a lethal dose of some stupid-ass drug they should have never gave this young man. I don't remember the outrage from these guys. But when it's their stuff, when it's their people, they get upset. This is why I got a license to get ill if I want to. Yes, black people do never feel like you got to cut down the volume on your outrage. Because if you're not outraged about black death, no one else will be. No one else will give a damn. If you don't sound the alarm, no one else will sound the alarm. So I'd also want to be sure that people understand, I get it. When you see certain black folks with a high volume about what's going on in Gaza and very low volume about what's happening to black folks, that's different. Tim Black gets loud for our issues every week. That's what I do. So those rules that you can't be concerned don't apply to me because I get upset when I see injustice. Period, point blank. But I tend to get louder when it's my black people too. But I don't turn the tables and say, hey, that's what white people deserve. No innocent civilians deserve to get slaughtered. Innocent civilians don't deserve to get slaughtered. But that's been happening in Palestine, taking people's homes, kicking them out of their homes, putting them in an open-air prison, denying them health care, pursuit of happiness. That's an apartheid situation. So, yeah, that's a problem. So, anyway, I just thought it would be interesting to address it. I want you to see how Ben Shapiro behaves when it's him. When it's his people, how he behaves. And remember how he acts when black people get upset. Oh, black people are so excitable. Why are black people so emotional? Why? Because of 300 years of trauma, sir. 300 years of trauma handed down from my ancestors. The frustration of living in a place where people act like they don't understand what you're upset about. It's right there. So there. So anyway, that was interesting, wasn't it? All right. I don't know. Put it in the comment section what you think about this. If that makes sense to you, what I'm trying to point out, if you get my point about the hypocrisy of our Jewish friend here, Ben Shapiro, and I don't know what Tucker Carlson is. He's just a jackass, but he's... Look, it's bad form. It's bad form. When people are so isolated that they can't see beyond their own noses. All they see is themselves. And they show their hand, how they really feel, what's really going on. But I just think it's amazing that Ben Shapiro, we got a rise out of him because he felt insulted. Yeah. But they don't put themselves in our position when we're upset about things. When we're upset about the constant, and I do mean constant, the constant hypocrisies we face, the constant discrimination. We built America for free against our will, and these assholes act like we just got here last week, and then we have no claim, and there's nothing for us to be upset about. It's amazing. It's amazing. It really is. That's why we got to continue to sound the alarm, Johnson. I'm going to keep sounding the alarm. I don't care how pissed off they get at me. It's a wrap. They come to the wrong place if they think I'm going to be calm. Until a black child is actually treated the same as a white child, we're going to have beef. And I'm going to be calling it out. As I should. And I'm not looking for pats on the head or attaboys. Just know that's my purpose here. So, and Mrs. Black's like, you know, you're like our own, you're like an anti-defamation league for the blacks. You're like a one-man anti-defamation league. And I want to be that because I think that black people let things slide too much. The reason why the Jewish people are so strong when it comes to these issues is because they are unrelenting. They are unrelenting to call out shit. We got to be the same way. We have to be the same way. Anyway, I'm going to move on. Check this out, guys. Real quick, let's go update. So many people may remember Elijah McClain was a 23-year-old Elijah McClain. Aurora, Colorado, going home one night. It was cold out. He was listening to his music, and the cops thought he was too carefree. Something's got to be wrong with him. He's too carefree. What are you doing? You're supposed to be gangster. But now Elijah's like jumping around and skipping and I don't know. Just being himself. And those cops laid hands on him, apprehended him, and then said he was acting erratic when he's just acting like himself. And they ended up costing Elijah his life. They killed Elijah. So here we are. And that happened back in 2019, by the way. So one of the officers was convicted. It's unclear exactly what caused McClain to go into cardiac arrest. An autopsy report by the Adams County Coroner said that the cause of death was still undetermined, and it could have been a result of natural causes, a homicide related to the cardiac hold, or an accident. They really don't know exactly what killed him. But he was alive and fine until you laid hands on him, until you injected him with whatever that was, whatever that sedative was that you injected him with. Okay, so so what's up? So I know one of the officers was acquitted, which sucks, because I don't know what. A few days after the autopsy report was released, David Young, the Adams County District Attorney, announced that criminal charges would not be filed, saying there was not enough evidence. In the weeks after Floyd's death, Governor Jared Polis appointed Attorney General Phil Weiser as a special prosecutor to investigate McClain's death. So they were trying to dismiss it, but then so much of the uproar caused them to put a special prosecutor on the case. And lo and behold, the special prosecutor found enough evidence to proceed with the case. And that's something. Isn't that amazing? So it was McClain's mother and a group of local activists who pushed lawmakers to adopt police reforms. So they filed a lawsuit against the city of Aurora. Here it is. So one of the officers, his name is Rodema. Was found guilty of criminally negligent homicide and third degree assault by a jury, which also found that Mr. Rosenblatt not guilty of similar charges. So those are the two officers, Rosenblatt and Rodema. So Rodim is the one who was found guilty. And, yeah. There's also going to be a trial because the cops didn't actually administer what we think was the cocktail that killed Elijah. So the paramedics are also going on trial. So in a nutshell, this case was going to get thrown away. Nobody was going to be held accountable for Elijah's death if it weren't for publicity. So we say all the time, it's important to raise your voice. It's important to protest. People say, oh, what's protesting do? It applies pressure in best case scenarios, not in all cases. But in certain scenarios, it applies pressure, it gets media exposure, that puts the powers that be in a bad situation. Because corrupt officials hate publicity that highlights their corruption. And when they're not doing their jobs, they hate for that to be exposed. They're like roaches. They prefer the dark. So that's how sometimes it works out when you get promotion, when you get publicity on an issue. So that publicity prompted them to appoint a special prosecutor to take over the case. That prosecutor found on me a reason to bring it to trial, and we got an officer convicted. We'll see where that goes as far as what kind of a sentence that will be for the officer. And we still got to see what happens with the paramedics, because the paramedics were the actual ones who injected McClain. Okay. Another update. I guess I don't need this. I don't want updates. I just want to get to the story. Remember Carly Russell? So Carly Russell was in Alabama. I forget where it was. We're in Alabama, Tim. She's the sister. She's the young black woman who faked her kidnapping. I still have no idea why she did this. I still don't understand what was going through this young woman's mind. I don't know if she was on something. Did she have some mental issues? I have no idea, okay? But she's been found guilty. It could do a year in jail. Now, she's guilty of a misdemeanor. She's also going to be required to pay restitution for the amount of money that was run up by the state to try to find her when she was not abducted. She's also got a fine to pay of $1,700. So it's $18,000 in restitution to the state. It's $1,700 for fines. And then they wanted to do time for the misdemeanor. Now, here's the thing about this, guys. As angry as people are about what Carly Russell did, it is just a misdemeanor. But we have the mayor upset. We have the chief of police upset. We have numerous police officers obviously upset. I guess they are. I mean, they got overtime. But they could have been doing something else. So I guess they're upset. So I was reading an article. And what they plan to do is they plan to push this back. So Carly Russell's attorneys are appealing it in hopes that by that time, the story will further die down. Some people didn't remember what happened. They're like, oh yeah, Carly Russell, Tim, I remember her. I remember that young woman. What was wrong with her? Well, they're waiting. They're hoping that if they get this postponed, that less people will be less angry, or more people will be less angry. Yeah, that's it. Which may mean she gets a community service or something. I just want an explanation. I don't know about you guys. I'm willing to get behind her not getting anything. If I can find out why you did it, tell me something. Tell me why you did it. Give me a reason that makes sense. Why would you lie for a week? Why would you put your family through that? Why would you put everyone through that? Everyone. You know how many upset black women there were? You know, it was like, you know, because it's notorious how America reacts when a white woman's missing, okay? There's been comedy bits done about it. There's been books written on it about how America reacts. There have been several black men killed throughout history. And just the mere mention of a hair on a white woman's head being frazzled because of a black guy. Entire towns of black people have been burnt to the ground because a black man bumped into a white woman or looked at a white woman. Young men, Emmett Till, lynched because he allegedly whistled at a white woman. So we know the running story about this, right? The narrative about white women. So black women were sitting back there, watched the story. They were like, why is this woman not getting more attention? So more attention was given. And I swear, man, I know this may seem a little bit conspiratorial, but I got to say it. There's something in me that makes me believe part of the reason why so much attention was put on Carly Russell is that they knew that she was not really missing. I'm serious. I believe. They saw this as an opportunity to say, here you go. Here goes your attention. See, she's faking. And that's why we don't give you attention. Now, I know that's a stretch. I believe it's a stretch. But damn it, I got to stretch. I got to stretch. I got to go for it, man, because I believe they are that complicit. I believe they are that honoring. I believe that they would go that far. They would stoop that low to discredit black women. I do. I believe it. I believe it. Yep. You know, because in other cases, whether it be Breonna Taylor or, Sandra Bland, you know, I'm thinking about the sister whose story, I don't even know what happened to her story. She's taking care of her nephew, and the cops, some neighbor called the cops because her door was kind of ajar, and they come to her house thinking someone's in her house. Yeah, she's in her house with her nephew playing video games, and they shoot her dead in her own house. I don't know what happened to that story. What's that young lady's name? So, yeah. What's that young lady's name? And what I'm trying to say is that, Atariana, thank you, Ms. Green. So what I'm saying is that those types of stories, like that story kind of drifted away. What happened to Atariana Green? I know it was postponed. That's why I lost track, because it was in the headlines. Then it winded through the headlines for a year, and then it got postponed. They kept postponing it because of the pandemic. That's what it was. It was the pandemic. But I was covering that story. I did several videos on that story. I don't know what happened. I think it's nothing happened to those officers. They shot through a window. They shot through a window of a home. Someone said the door was open. No one said that there was some violence, a scream, saw blood. Someone's door was open. And your response to a slightly ajar door is, I'm going to go around the back and look and see if there's any movement in the house, and I'm going to shoot into the house. Well, she had a gun, Tim. Yeah, in her own house. You can have a gun in your own house. She's in a state where you can have a gun, and she's in her house, and she hears somebody walking around her house. She didn't jump out her window with the gun. They shot her through her window into her body in her own home. Get where I'm going? This doesn't make sense. That story left the airwaves. Now, that's a perfectly good story. We can talk about that all day. We should talk about that story every month. It should be Atariana Jefferson month. We should be talking about that in rotation. It's against every civil liberty that an American says they cherish. The Democrats should be upset because it's a black woman. They love that identity stuff, right? What's a black woman killed in her house? You can't put she had a mean boyfriend. Nah, she was with her nephew, babysitting. Okay? Perfect story. The right should be upset. She had a gun. She was a licensed gun owner in her own home. That whole thing about protecting themselves. The libertarians should be down for that story. Silence. I didn't hear Ben Shapiro talk about it. I didn't hear Tucker Carlson talk about it. And Vivek Ramaswamy's not running on it. That's my whole point. But see, if you don't cover the fake outrage of Tucker, the fake outrage of Ben, then you don't have all the ammunition that I have. See, that's why I cover this stuff. I cover it to inform you, but I also cover it because it's good to know. Because having that information allows me to be able to get them dead to rights. And I like getting them dead to rights. I like getting us, you know, these white supremacist type guys. I like getting them dead to rights. Where they can't say anything. Where their people have to totally lose all credibility when they dismiss me. Get what I'm saying? A Tatiana Jefferson story is a very American story. It's a very American story. It's something that should be taught in the books, in the history books, about how badly black people are treated. You are suspect in your own home. And I'm not saying she's the only person ever killed in their own home. I mean, Botham Jean was killed in his own home. But look at the publicity Botham Jean got compared to a Tatiana Jefferson. I covered it, but that's what I do. I want to know what's the difference. So it's different because the white policewoman who shot Botham Jean went in this house. So I guess if you shoot from outside her house through a closed window, that's justifiable. There's no consistency. That's all I'm saying. All right. Anyway, guys, comments, guys. Put a one up if you understand where I'm coming from, if I'm making any sense at all. I don't want to just be ranting to myself here. I want to know what you think. Do you think it makes sense that I'm making this an issue? Put a one up if it makes sense and I'm just for calling them out. I think you agree with me, but I just want to know, guys. I want to know. That's the type of stuff we cover on this show. So no, we don't just cover guys, and we cover other stuff too. You should know about as much as your brain can hold. If you can know about the BET Awards and the Source Awards and what 50 Cent said and what Snoop did or what happened with Bruce Jenner or if you can know about what Tyson Fury did or what, you know, there's a lot of other stuff like what's going on now? U2 did a concert in Vegas. You know, there's a lot of stuff we don't need to know about. But I want to give you the option to know other things. You don't have to accept any of it. But that's my job. That's my job. I'm trying to get out of the business of calling out other creators. So I'm going to get out of that business. People say, Tim Black, man, stay in your lane, Tim Black. We like what you do, but stay in your lane, brother. All right. I hear you. Check this out. Kamala Harris is the vice president. I know, right? That's crazy. She is. Yes, she is. Vice presidents are notoriously absent from mainstream politics. I forgot Joe Biden was Obama's VP when he was VP. I didn't pay attention to that guy. Who cared? Nobody. If he wasn't saying something stupid, no one paid attention to him. He was out of sight, out of mind. Get what I'm saying? So now, here's the thing. Kamala Harris gets all types of publicity. And 98% of it is negative. And there are some people that have been making a big deal about this, saying how racist America is. And to that I say, you don't think so. Wow, you just figured out America's racist because it's affecting Kamala? Jesus Christ. But here's the thing, guys. There's been some articles to their point. There's been some articles by the New York Times. All right? I will admit this. It is what it is, man. Where is it at? Here we go. Here goes one of them. Here goes one of the articles. Well, shit. Give me that article. Here we go. Here goes one of them. Kamala Harris is trying to define her vice presidency. Even her allies are tired of waiting. Okay, so that's whack as hell, okay? Because a vice president doesn't define their presidency. No one waited for Joe Biden to define anything. No one cared. The other article is Kamala Harris' biggest challenge. Okay, that's whack. I know this is probably really small for you guys, but that's the thing. Okay, there he goes. That's and both articles ran in the New York Times. So both articles ran in the New York Times. Now check this out, guys. This is the world's smallest violin playing just for Kamala. Okay? Look. Kamala Harris. You're right. Kamala Harris gets undue scrutiny. She gets undue scrutiny. People pay attention to Kamala Harris when they should not pay attention to her. But honestly, most of the time we do ignore. We ignore her. We ignore her. She's out of sight. She's out of mind. Not out of sight in a good way. These articles, are they genuine? Are they coming from an artistic, of a journalistic point of view? Not really. I mean, the foundation of these articles seems sensational. No one cares what Kamala's doing. Does that mean she's a bad VP? I don't know, because all VPs pretty much are, like I said, a ghost. But here's the thing. This is why I'm reporting on it. I'm reporting on this because I want it to be very clear here, guys. And I want to say this to the person or the news entities that are running around defending Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris, guys, are coming. Kamala Harris deserves all the smoke. Kamala Harris deserves smoke because Kamala Harris is not good at what she does. Period. Now, I know you don't believe it. I don't believe it. I remember reporting on Kamala Harris back in 2018, 2019. I remember a video I put out distinctly. The title was, Kamala Harris is a Problem. Kamala Harris was a bad mofo back in 2019, 2018. Remember Kamala Harris grilling Brett Kavanaugh? Woo! Woo! Kamala Harris, I thought Kamala Harris was going to be something else. Yeah. Kamala Harris did the thing, Johnson. She was amazing on this stuff. Now, was it genuine? I don't know. But she was good at what she was doing. She was good at putting Brett Kavanaugh on his heels and grilling him. She did a good job at that. And I said, she's a bad mofo. That Kamala Harris does not exist anymore. See, that Kamala Harris prepared for Brett Kavanaugh. Okay? That's what it was. I didn't realize it at the time, but that's what it was. The proof is Kamala Harris also had a good moment, an excellent moment, a stellar moment at the debates. Remember when she called out Joe Biden on the debate stage? Guess what else? She planned that. Once again, she had time to prep for it. She didn't just come up with that on the spot. It wasn't extemporaneous. She didn't just conjure it. She wasn't just going on her momentum and her charisma. Nah. Her people helped her put that line of questioning together for her. That was all premeditated. So here's the thing about Kamala Harris. This is what I've learned. She sucks on the fly. Sucks on the fly. She gets nervous. She laughs weird and loud. It's off-putting. You may not find that as a dig. You may say that's a reach. That shit matter. It matters to people. Hey, man, it matters to people. It matters how you come across. It matters if you're funny, if you're obnoxious, if you're rude, if you're easygoing, if you're relaxed, if you're spontaneous, if you're charismatic, if you're bright, if you're witty, if you're, you know, like these, all these characteristics matter. Most people will say that Kamala Harris is full of word salad. That is not a good way to be described. Some would say she's a bumbling idiot. That's not a good way to be described. Now, it's not about is she bright? Of course she's bright. Of course she's smart. But when someone puts a mic in your face and you go, well, listen, we are the people, since we are the people here, since we understand ourselves to be the people that are such here, we are not going to stand for, which means we're not going to sit, we're going to stand. We're going to get up for this because we're not sitting. We are standing. Know that. We are standing. Be very clear. We're not sitting at all. And as we stand, we're going to raise our voices, all of us. And we're going to yell in a raised voice because that's what we do. Okay? That's what we do. That's what America's about. And I'm not gonna sit here and tell you that I'm gonna do something special for black people. Oh, no way. No way. That'll never happen. No. I'm not gonna sit here and tell you that. So what I just did for you was a pretty good reenactment of Kamala Harris. Yeah, pretty good reenactment. I think I was pretty close. It's not Godfrey. It's not comedian Godfrey level. It's at every Spears level, but it's pretty good for a guy who doesn't do her. That's because I've heard her so many times speak that way in a jumbled mess. So to those people that want to say everyone's sexist, a lot of people are sexist, but not everyone. There's a few people that aren't. For those people to say everyone's racist, yeah, there are a lot of racist people, but not everybody. I'm not racist. And I like black women. I'm married to one, and I got a black mom, and a black daughter, black grandchild, too. I love black women. But Kamala Harris, it's not black. But that's what's not, I didn't mean that's not what I meant. I'm being very serious. Let me be serious here, guys. Kamala Harris deserves criticism because Kamala Harris is in the limelight. Kamala Harris is the first female vice president. Maybe she should have thought about this job before she took it. It's a thankless job, Johnson. It's not a job people really want. What Joe Biden was able to do with this position to catapult himself into the president's seat is crazy. He only did it because we had Trump and Obama pulling the strings, making everyone drop out. If not for that, it would have been three strikes for Biden trying to be president and a failure. Because he failed twice before this. But Kamala Harris is not good on a national stage. She was probably a better senator with prepared remarks. This does not suit her. So for you to come out and browbeat everyone and get loud and talk about how Kamala's mistreated, it doesn't help Kamala because you don't keep it real. Yes, Kamala Harris gets more scrutiny than any other vice president. That's because she's a rock star. And the president is 80 years old. And they were saying she was probably going to be his successor. And she doesn't even seem like she could put together a sentence. That's on her, dog. It's on her. There were people that latched onto her and wanted her so badly to succeed. And she still can, but she's got to be able to pull it out. And don't tell me just because Joe Biden is the president, Kamala doesn't got a chance to shine. Every time Kamala gets the microphone, she has an opportunity to talk in a way that will make people believe she can lead this country. And she does not. She does not. And that's on her. When you're given an opportunity to go before the world, supposed to knock it out the park, man. Knock it out the park. That's your job. Rise to the occasion. That's your job. Don't tell me that you didn't get an at-bat. Being vice president is the closest at-bat you will get to leading the free world. And she's there. And what's she doing with it? So look, I will accept that, yeah, There's some sexism in America. I will accept that there's racism. Of course there is. Yes, I know. But there's also lack of production. There's lack of follow through. There's lack of demonstrated skills and ability on behalf of Kamala Harris that everyone sees. Even her supporters see it. They just condone it because they're her supporters. They just pretend not to see it because they want to ride for her. And that's fine. That's what fans do. But yo, if you're in the media business and you pretend that you don't see that, you need glasses, Josh. That's it. Yeah, that's it. That was a lot, man. That's how I feel about it. So anyway, Vivek Ramaswamy, Tucker Carlson, Ben Shapiro, three-piece chicken with all biscuits, no chicken. How you gonna have a three-piece with no chicken at all in the basket? I got home, there's no chicken, it's just three biscuits. Doesn't work. All right, so That's all I got on this. That's all I got. All right, guys, that's all I got for... I know, man. Am I missing something, guys? Tim Black's Wolfpack, am I missing something? Did I miss something? There's something that should have been with these issues here? There we go. We're back. Yeah, someone said eye candy. You know, guys, that's it. So anyway, guys, this has been the show of the Black Tim Black. This has been the Tim Black's Black Table Show, episode 28. It's in the can. We got through it. We gave you some information. I hope that you feel that this was different, new, exciting. Tried to make it all that. Know that I'll be back Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Tim Black Show. We came back. We're back. Tim Black Show is back. So we do Wednesdays at 8. Plus Sundays at 7, okay? So earmark me. Put me in your calendar. Put me in your rotation. What else? I think that's it. I got any comments, guys? Any super chats, anything going on over here? Any new members? Did anybody join us tonight? Uli, I want to shout out Uli and Buck, my moderators, side of the times. My moderators in the house, thank you for moderating. All my VIPs have showed up. Thank you, VIP people. And I appreciate y'all. Well, that's all I got, guys. Remember, don't let nobody take your corporate. And when they say, man, Cordell West, he, I don't like his hat. Say, he's not wearing a hat. Well, Cordell West, he said this thing that time I didn't like. And remember that thing you did back in 1992? Just tell him, hey, man, it's a new day.
You're watching the Black Digital Television Network. Become a subscriber for the best in black thought on the internet. We keep it 100 just for you. And remember, it's a new day. Accept no imitations.